Welcome to Inside Out, the Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I'm Errol Strider, and together we will explore these, hopefully, truths through humor, conscious conversation, music skits, and your comments. You're invited to call in at 888-627-6008. You can call in without the weird little accent.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural organic raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
And which you can get the Go Raw products at Costco, Trader Joe's, and go to goraw.com for a store near you.
You can even find them in the organic section of Costco.
There you go.
And so if you go to goraw.com, you'll find out a lot about them. Did I just say what you said?
Pretty much.
Well, I'm your echo tonight.
I'm your echo tonight.
Tonight's show is about...
Resist Not is the title. And it's something Yeshua, otherwise known as Jesus, kind of said to his apostles, disciples, and I think to all humankind, which is why we're dealing with the ever-pressing, little pun intended, pressing issue of resistance.
Yes, and you must have realized by now that we've ended many a show with this reminder. Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. And we've been reminding each other that, which came through Errol, because resistance is a definite sign that we are in fear. Now, it might be well-founded because at this point, I am rather resistant to physical pain and my own demise. Sometimes I'm resistant to humiliation and a lot of times rejection and judgment. Other than that, I'm totally free from resistance.
No problem.
It is such a strong feeling.
Makes it so easy for you to live with.
It is such a strong feeling that once we get that, it is fear. And are able to embrace or not resist our resistances, we can walk away after facing it intact, or even better, for facing it, better being more conscious of the great teacher resistance is. Because resistance, number one, as I said, teaches us that we are afraid. Two, gives us a chance to not resist it. Three, allows us to learn about our relationship with ourselves, others, and the mystery as we embrace our resistance. So whatever I am afraid of, upon recognition of that fear, moves me forward. Sometimes I feel as if I have been given an obstacle course to wholeness, which is probably true. I mean, you, Errol, wrote, in order to get to where you want to go, you have to start from where you are. So if I resist where I am, it takes a lot longer to get to where I want to go, which is in truth to a state of non-resistance. So the secret is out. In order to get to non-resistance, when I am in resistance, I cannot resist the resistance. When I am out of resistance, I can sense the origin of that which frightens me and address it accordingly. Should I hide or flee, or just listen and see which action to take? Whatever my action, if it comes from non-resistance, it will serve me well.
Yeah. Here's an interesting contradiction. Not a contradiction. Our experience of reality, especially through touch, is based upon resistance. I mean, the reason I can sense anything, if I'm not mistaken, check me out, all you people who know these biological things much better than I, that when I touch, it's because these electrons are resisting each other, they're pushing off each other in a particular way, so that's how I'm able to touch things. So on one level, we're saying resist not. On the other level, we're saying if you're not resisting, at least in the physical realm, you're probably not existent on it. And therein lies the possible distinction that from a spiritual point of view, in that spiritual realm, the realm of a flow of consciousness and awareness and constant emergence of ever new realities, just breaking into time and space and taking up and establishing their own time-space modular phenomenal existence.
Go on.
Okay, so we've come into this finite world where it is resistive, and it's almost like we sort of need this kind of temporary duality where we resist, which reminds me of another proverb that I got in touch with was, when you step into the duality, don't get it all over yourself.
Yeah, but you know something, Errol? I wonder if that is that which presses against each other, that which we come up against and we push against, is not necessarily resistant, but is sort of like you meet at the same degree of impact.
But you are pushing off. Those little electrons are kind
of
bouncing off.
Yeah, you're pushing it off. But the resistance we're talking about here really is an emotional experience rather than a physical one.
Okay. So
I mean, I think it's emotional in the sense that, you know, what I resist, I push away from me. I don't come into union with it. And the resistance you're talking about on that physical level is, in a way, allows you to come into union with the thing. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so the resistance we're talking about tonight has to do with pushing away from it, going away from it, judging it, creating separation rather than union.
Good point.
And when you don't resist that resistance, you're coming into the space that you're talking about.
And for only $15, you got an entry fee to come into this space. We're going to charge
only $15.
Well, that's for
cheap.
Each resistant membrane.
Oh my God! Then that's a fortune.
So we are dealing with resistance, and again, we'd love to hear from you if you want to call in at 888-627-6008. How we interact with reality through and with resistance is just so critical. And as Rochelle pointed out, just to reiterate, when we go into judgment of something, we feel ourselves pulling away from it, separating ourselves from it. That's the resistance we're talking about. Now, some people may think of it as being frustrated. I mean, frustration is a constant form of resistance, and where we feel like we're just, well, we're just not getting any satisfaction.
Can't get no satisfaction.
More and more about something.
friends, when you find yourself getting frustrated, when you get pissed off because you can't get no satisfaction, when your exasperation level is about to reach depth con 5, well, don't blow a circuit, don't throw your baby out the window, and don't destroy your cell phone when you've been on hold for an hour and a half. No, friends, don't kill the messenger when you can drop by Buck Stops Here Complaint Department. We've got a person on call 24/7 to hear your complaints, so you can experience that enormous sense of relief that comes from dumping on someone who won't make excuses, try to justify, rationalize, equivocate, project, or mollify your well-deserved rage. Our trained complaint technicians won't blame you back or hold you accountable. You can rant and rave to your heart's content. Our registered complaint technician won't put you on hold, disconnect you, or make you wait in line. She'll nod in agreement, make you feel like everyone else is a stupid idiot but you. As a licensed CRS practitioner, she'll immediately forget all indications that you are a raving lunatic. And if you should feel tempted to admit to your own mistakes, she will kindly, but firmly, remind you that you always did your best, so you can feel even more supercilious and justified in your righteous indignation. Stop by this week, friends, and pick up a free bottle of Buck Stops Here Poop Freshener. This aromatic mind laxative will help you maintain the illusion that while it may be true for everyone else, your shit does not, in fact, stink. Our Buck Stops Here complaint technicians speak both bitchin' or kvetching, depending upon whether you're a Gentile or a Jew. Please specify before you start griping. Come by here. Yeah, come on by the Buck Stops Here complaint department, and we'll make sure your complaints reach a sympathetic ear. And if you still feel you're getting no satisfaction, well, we'll gladly return all your complaints, and you can shove them up your shredder. Not available in California. Think on it. Andy Rumi.
That wasn't Mick Jagger.
No. And that was written by, of course, Keith Richards from, what was the name of that?
Rolling Stones.
But that was Britney Spears.
Really?
Singing it. Man, she's got a voice that's like,
Gets satisfaction out of her voice,
you
huh?
You seem like it. Man, she gets probably get a lot of satisfaction with that voice. Anyway, and that was a piece from my blog called The Complaint Department. And you can go to my blog and make your complaints, your comments. My blog, by the way, I hardly ever mention this, is insightoutwitherol.blogspot.com. And that's where I really get down into the juicy part of what is showing up to me in the world at the most essential level at which I can find and gather myself.
I think that is one of the things that I'm very aware of is that we, each one of us, each human being on this planet, is a tiny dot that makes up an entire picture. You know, like the pointillist, the painters, the pointillism, and also the way they create pictures out on computers. You know, there's a lot of dots that come together and form an image.
I think they're called pixels.
Pixels, that's right. And we are a pixel in the universe. Each one of us is a pixel. And what it realizes is that when we don't resist each other, when we come into this harmony with each other, it's like the picture of the universe, or whatever it is, or the picture of the world that we live in with all our little pixels, becomes more apparent. But when we resist, the pixels can't come together to create part of that pixel picture.
It gets tough forming that pixel picture. And remember, you are a pixel, lest you start to take yourself too seriously.
Yes, that's a good way. You know, just remember you're a pixel. And you think you're a very important person, just remember you're a pixel.
So back to the subject of resistance and non-resistance. He actually said it was quoted as saying, I should say, non-resistance to evil. And I've been reading in these new revelations of Yeshua, Jesus, where he essentially qualifies what he meant by the word evil when he was speaking to his contemporaries in his native Norwegian.
Oh, really? Come on, Errol.
Aramaic, actually, was the language.
That's right.
And he said, first of all, he didn't use concepts like evil in the way we use it today, which is so polarizing, like this is evil, this is dark, this is satanic, this is anti-life, antithetical to life. And what he suggests is he never would have actually said that, because he was always coming from and continues to come from a place of non-duality to which he is inviting us. So he says evil is really useless, something that has no use. And somehow that fits a whole lot better with my growing awareness of how we are here in the universe and how we're to be. So if you think of something that's useless, rather than this kind of almost childlike black and white evil versus good kind of thing that we've had for so long.
Well, it may be black and white, but black and white are colors that, or non-colors or whatever thing. Black and white is definitely two very interesting perspectives of the world in which we live. And I don't want to be in resistance to it, because it's what is, what's here right now. That doesn't mean it won't be here tomorrow, but it's what's here right now. And what I'm learning about not resisting things or resisting not is that when I truly embrace something, when I don't resist it, something new happens. And it's like I add to the collective when I don't resist something. The almost the air around me is freed up for me to move forward. Because when I'm in resistance, everything's stuck. But the minute I don't resist it, it opens up and I can move freely to wherever it is that I'm going.
But what were you saying about this black or white thing?
Well, because what I hear is like, okay, there's duality. And so duality is not very mature. Duality belongs to our childish thinking. Well, yes, it does. But as I embrace that childish thinking, I move forward and allow the person also who's in that childish thought to move forward. But when I resist that and I go, oh yeah, you're in duality and you're black and white and you're this and you're that, nothing moves.
Black or white. I'd rather hear both sides of the tale. See, it's not about races, just places, faces. Where your blood comes from is where your space is. I've seen the bright get duller. I'm not gonna spend my life being a color.
Do you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eye?
There's an improvement toward a non-dual state, getting beyond black or white.
I think it's interesting that we are so variable. I mean, all life on this planet, there's such a variety of it. And even among the species, you know, like human species, there's a huge variety. Then there's the variety of mammals, then there's a variety of reptiles, and there's a variety of trees and flowers, and it's all there isn't this anything here on this planet at all that is just one color, one thing, one anything. It's completely variable all over.
Evolution is bent on diversity, isn't it?
It is. It's all diversified. And so it's amazing to me that it seems to me if we're going to live on this planet, it seems we should realize that very quickly as children so that we can grow up appreciating and celebrating the diversity rather than being in resistance to
it. When you think about that much diversity and that much distinctiveness, we get along pretty well, all the different parts of us. I mean, if you don't get sucked into the media and how the media and how it dramatizes the differences, conflict. Conflict sells. Conflict creates frustration. Conflict creates a tension, and that tension has to be resolved, and it's resolved through capitalism, basically through buying and selling goods. So everything about the commercial capitalistic system is designed to increase and keep that tension up, that conflict up. But if you kind of look at any given moment, like the one you're having now, O ye listener, it's all just kind of like, boop. There's not a lot of conflict. And if you think about how much of your day is spent in relative not conflict.
Well, the conflict exists because you don't like the way it is.
Because you ain't getting no satisfaction.
Right. I mean, whatever it is, you don't like it. I mean, you're in resistance to it. That's period. That's, you want it to be this way, and it's not that way, so you're in resistance to it. And that happens all the time. And there's another, let's put it this way, way that we have been manipulated by the media, because we've been given a standard that we're supposed to live by, or standard of how we're supposed to be seen even. And if we're not like that, then we go into resistance. For instance, I mean, who is to say what's beautiful when all around us is beautiful? Like, is one tree less beautiful than another tree? But if somebody came out and said, oh, oak trees are really disgusting, you know, and made a whole big campaign about how disgusting oak trees were.
Or,
and you were a maple tree, you know, you'd stand there really good feeling, but you were an oak tree and you'd start to feel real stupid and awful and hate yourself, and you'd be in resistance to your oakness forever.
And so you'd get that elm disease if you were an oak tree who felt that way about itself.
No, you wouldn't get it if you were an oak tree. You'd get it if you were an elm tree.
Don't they spread it around, elm disease?
I don't think so. I think they it doesn't work that way.
Speaking of elm disease, We have a piece we'd like to do, which is about matter. We are talking about matter. And the other piece besides matter in the world that seems to really grab our attention and as a source of amazing amount of resistance one way or another is the issue of money. So we thought we'd take a look at it through these two characters who we lovingly call... Lou and Bud, named after our favorite theologians, Lou Costello and Bud Abbott. So here's a little introduction to it, and let's have at it. I'll be playing the Lou character.
No, I'm playing the Lou character.
It takes money to get matter. Matter isn't free, therefore money matters.
But money isn't free. It takes matter to get money, making matter matter.
But what, with no matter, there is no money?
So money doesn't matter.
Whoa, wait a minute. Money doesn't matter without matter, huh? But how can we have matter without money?
Because money depends on matter and is made of matter.
But does matter matter without money? Or does it only matter when money matters?
Oh, no. Matter matters because matter came first. First the matter, then the money.
Oh, so money don't matter then?
Only when it stands for matter. So get to the matter first if you want the money.
But if you got what matters, what do you need money for? Money won't matter.
Because money is a sign of matter and a sign that you matter. If you got money, you matter.
But do we matter without money? Or is money the only thing that matters?
You can matter without money.
But am I only matter?
Of course not.
Can I matter without matter then?
Sure. Mattering means more than just matter.
Well, it don't seem so, because money holds all the matter. It looks like you got to have money to matter.
But you matter more than money or matter.
How can I matter without money if you got to have money to matter and I ain't got no money?
You're stuck in the matter, aren't you?
But if I could get some money, I could get out of the matter, since money frees you from the matter.
No, it doesn't.
No, why? What's the matter?
That'll mean that money matters, and you're back in the matter.
Wait a minute. If matter is before money, then money doesn't matter. And if it takes money to have matter, then matter doesn't matter as much as money matters. So neither money nor matter really matter then. So what does matter?
Just you. A smattering of matter without money for matter. Now that really matters.
Huh?
I think something's matter with the person that wrote that.
Oh, ye listener, if you could follow that, wow, you're better than me, you know. But I wrote it. I don't see how that's possible because I don't understand any of it.
I was talking to someone today and we were talking about, you know, the moment of realization when you realize that you don't know as much as you thought you did. And it's a very humbling moment when all of a sudden you realize there's so much you don't know. And even as you probe into that self-knowledge, you become aware that the self that you walk around in, that you're with 24/7 all the time, you're still probing into, you're still trying to understand, you're still trying to know, and you still don't.
Or you're just involved with your life, and you're not
probing.
Well,
you don't think about it, of course.
Let me ask you a question. What do you, as you look at humanity or the humanity that you interact with on a regular basis, what would you say is the major resistance thing? What is that which people are...
They resist what is different from them. Whatever is different, it doesn't even matter what it is. If you like purple and somebody wears green all the time, that becomes an issue. If someone speaks with one accent and you really think that's great, and then you meet someone with a different accent, that's not okay. It's just difference. It's really difference. There's a fear that if it's different, it's going to eat you up. I mean, there really is. I remember that when our children were little, you know, they were lovingly introducing them to things that was different was our job as parent, because we weren't afraid of the difference. We were able to allow them to experience different things. But had we not, when they just encountered the difference by themselves, it was scary just because it was different. Just because it was different, not because it did anything bad to them, just because it was different.
Speaking of our children, we are very happy and proud to announce tonight that our oldest son, Lev, is graduating from the San Francisco
Academy of Arts University
with a major in music for media. And it's a wonderful story about non-resistance, going with the flow. Right time is the right time, and enormous perseverance. You know, Lev's in his mid-30s now. He went back to school 4 years ago. You know, I really admire him for taking that on while working and you know, in the middle of this whole going to school, both he and his wife, Stacy, their companies were sold, and all of a sudden, you know, their whole economic situation was up for grabs. And he persisted through this and is finishing and has done just an extraordinary job. And we're just so very proud of him. And he did it in his time, in his way. And we might have resisted his path. For example, I've thought, well, he should go to college and get his degree and get a job and blah, blah, blah in his early 20s and get settled in life and et cetera, et cetera. But he's stayed true to his own path, and that's just amazing.
Yes, it is. And if you consider it, so have you. Stay true to your own path.
I'll block off the old chip.
Exactly. It's so wonderful. Right now we're living in what people call the country, in the sense that there's no pavements here, big stores, big buildings. It's all quite rural. There's lots and lots of trees, 110 acres of land, wooded land with beautiful, beautiful greenery.
And but some really ugly deer. Speaking
no,
of
the
ugly.
Deer are beautiful too. But the thing is that I was brought up in a city, and so the other day I was talking to a young woman who was also brought up in the city who lives here, and she said, "Well, I like country living, but then there's the bugs." And I realized that, you know, here's a place that I'm in resistance almost all the time. Bugs. I'm not in resistance to them when I'm outside where they live. I figure, you know, they live there, they got there first. But inside, when I'm in my house and they come into my house, I go into total resistance to the point of wanting to annihilate them. I mean, it's not like I can live with them. I want to get rid of them. I look for ways to get rid of them, ingenious ways to be genocidal. So it's very interesting
just
that, you know,
tiny ants.
Yeah, right. They're little tiny ants, and they crawl all over everything, and I think I'm eating them, and it freaks me out. And I realized that this has to do with, a lot of it has to do with my education, because I think if I had been brought up in a rural background,
you
I
were
probably
brought up
would,
in a bugless world, except for cockroaches.
Well, I was brought up in a bugless world that any insect was an intrusion into that
I didn't tell you this, but we went to our storage area to get some things out of storage, and I found this rug. I needed this little carpet to put in my tent. What I did not tell Rochelle, I'm going to tell her now, so this is going to, her eyes is going to went a little larger, is that the rug was rolled up, and when I unrolled it, all these cockroaches came flooding out.
Oh, that's not true.
It is true.
No.
Yes.
Cockroaches.
Yeah. Well, they're like beetles, cockroaches, those kind of things. They look like cockroaches. And there were like dozens of them, and they all like dispersed.
They were in the rug?
Yeah.
I wouldn't sleep on that rug.
That's why it's out in the tent, my tent.
And you're sleeping with it. You better not come back and sleep in my bed with those cockroaches.
So there you are. You see, there's a good example of resistance. So I think there is going to be resistance. We do have resistance, but every resistant moment, or as I like to say, every conflict is an opportunity to get bigger. So the positive side of the resistance is if we can stay centered and not let fear drive us away from that which we don't like or that which repels us, there is not only a lesson there, but more than that, there's meaning, because as we adapt to that thing, in other words, as we adjust our way of seeing, our way of reacting, our capacity to embrace that which is coming at us, which seems like it's repugnant. So it comes down to, you know, why can't you eat the bugs?
I there's nothing I can say about that other than to want to throw up. Why can't you eat the bugs? There's plenty of people on the planet that eat bugs and have no resistance to it whatsoever. But I didn't grow up eating bugs.
Okay.
And therefore, I have a whole different, and that's what I said, it's different. You see, the difference right away is what creates the resistance. If I grew up eating bugs, but somebody might want to throw up the fact that I might want to eat a hamburger, which is made of a cow.
Bigger.
No, but there are people to whom cows are sacred, and the thought of eating a cow would be horrible, and they have total resistance to eating a cow. Because as part of their culture is to resist that. And as I brought up earlier, resistance, we have to realize that resistance is an indication that there's some fear there. Something bad is going to happen if I am in resistance, when I'm in resistance.
So in other words, frustration, which is the more obvious place, we get frustrated and then we often will get angry. And what we're saying is that underneath the frustration or the anger is a fear that unless it turns out the way we want it to or expect it to, the need that is driving the action or the intention will not be fulfilled. And so that's the fear, and that we make something responsible for getting us that satisfaction. Then if it doesn't and we get locked into that relationship, we will get frustrated and angry and stay in resistance. And that's why I think the idea of forgiveness is so critical, in the sense that it's saying, well, just because it resists this way doesn't mean it's going to be like it was in the past. Because the only way I think we would know that we're going to that we would be frightened that it won't work out is somehow in the past it didn't work out. And so we're bringing that past moment up. And
yes and no. You know that there's the thing of something you've never seen before, and therefore it becomes scary. And because resistance is about fear, and fear usually is about we can get eaten. You know, I mean, we're looking at, you know, our demise. And corporeal fear is endemic to us as beings, as mammals, because it saves our lives more times than not. I mean, it's a flight or fight syndrome. And the thing is to realize if I don't resist that which I'm frightened of, it lets me know right away if I should get out of there or fight to save my life, or if it's just an illusion and then my life really isn't at stake. But I've created a sense of self that is at stake, but it's not really me, my body.
Exactly. And I think that's what we try to emphasize on this program, that we're more than our bodies, that we are caught up in a vortex and an expanding universe of which we are part of that expansion, and that there's this aspect of ourselves which isn't in resistance, which is really our soulful self, that soul self. So let's take a look at that. You? Will you participate with me in the quest beyond the known? Will you walk by my side as I ascend the mountain of trust?
Will you accompany me through a vision beyond sight? Will you bear with me as I transcend the limits of self?
Will you walk along with me and leave behind your weighty past? Will you hear my point of view, though it clashes with your own?
Will you discern those subtle roads that attract few travelers and follow after untread paths in the hope they'll take you somewhere?
Will you let go of the easier way of dependable sights and sounds and abandon yourself to the sterling unseen and the bountiful mystery of light?
Will we arrive together on a crest overlooking time, having transcended the tasty finite and the surging appeal of matter?
Will you run along with me, keep keeping your eye on the goal before us, trusting that you will not fall down or will have placed your hopes in a fiction.
Will you join and harmonize me by falling in unified step? Will you blaze the trail of faith as we follow the infinite way? What about you?
What about you? And thank you, Southern Rays 2013 original song, Is the Soul Going Somewhere? Is Your Soul Going Somewhere? That was that song. And we are going somewhere. You have reached the Insight Out show, Insight Out, The Naked Truth. I'm Errol Strider with my spouse, what's her face? And
what's her face? What's her face? This is what's her face.
This is what's her face. You can't see her face. And let us remind you, our show is sponsored by Go Raw. Unbelievable. It's called real live food because it really is like real live food. It's like still sprouting when you eat it, and it'll help you sprout. And especially, I believe it will help your soul sprout, and you'll have a spry, sprouting soul. And they don't tell that to a lot of people. They keep that part of their, because they don't have any scientific evidence that you'll have a soul sprouting soul. But there's a lot of experiments going on right now at the University of Indiana on soul sprouting souls. You'll see it in Scientific
Forgive
American.
Forgive him, he knows not what he says.
Hey, I just found in our storage one of my favorite all-time books, if not my Bible. And it's The Cartoon Guide to Genetics. And if you haven't seen it or read it, get to it. It is just a fabulous way to find out about how things happen at that genetic level, biological level, and the way separation actually happens in order for birth to give forth to someone new. Did you know, like, the chromosome, which is a double helix, which is like two sides of the thing facing each other all curled up, actually come apart at birth? And there, if you look at in this book of The Cartoon Guide to Genetics, you'll see these spindly things that come in and actually pull this chromosome apart so that half of it is like exposed. And then it goes off looking for its other half, if you will. And if it lucky enough, it's if that's lucky one out of 300 million sperm that gets set off in an explosive paroxysm of human ecstasy, then you might show up as, guess what? You, a person.
Yeah, what's his face?
What's his face?
So they come apart to come together?
Yes, in other words, yes, they come. It's pulled apart. The double helix comes unwound, and now you have a single helix, which is the chromosome, which is the sequence of nucleotides or bases. I forget what they are, but anyway, it's a certain sequence that determines the protein molecule that each one kind of lines up and creates essentially a big fat protein like yourself.
I think it's very interesting. You know, I remember as a young woman thinking that the Garden of Eden, the Adam and Eve story, that they had to leave the garden, you know, and it was like they had to leave it so they could come back to it, I thought, with consciousness, because there it was just like everything was fine, you know, and they learned nothing. They began learning of expanding their awareness because they created, broke a rule, let's say, and then they began their journey back to the garden, which, we, of course, we're very far away from, but nevertheless, that if I think about that sometimes, that we had to separate in order to truly come back together, that everything within us is pulling us together, is pulling us closer and closer to the union, but we couldn't come into that space of magnification
to get back to...
So if we didn't separate.
But I see that the separation was this entering into this existence of dichotomy, of duality, so that, like you say, we could come back into that state of oneness with this wealth of experience that we gain from duality, so we could essentially go back into the garden where it's just splendiferous.
You wipe the teardrops from your eyes against sorrow. Yeah, we watch the petals fall down to the ground. Yeah, then I sat beside you. I felt the great sadness that day in the garden. And then one day you came back home. You were a creature all enraptured. You had the key to your soul, and you did open. That day you came back to the garden. The old and summer breeze was blowing against your face. All right. The light of gold was shining on your countenance divine. Yeah, you were a violet color as you sat beside your father and your mother in the garden. The summer breeze was blowing on your face. Within your violet, you treasure your summery words. And at the shiver from my neck down to my spine, ignited me in daylight and nature in the garden. And you went into a trance. And childlike vision became so fine. And we heard the bell within the church. We loved so much and felt the presence of the youth of eternal summers in the garden.
Felt the presence of the youth of eternal summers in the garden. That's Van Morrison we're listening to. And Van is that's one of my all-time favorites. Van Morrison's songs in the garden. And that's a lot about what this program's about, is how we can live with consciousness in the garden of creation, which is our very existence. We are that blossoming, unfolding flower, being consciousness, in amazement. And as we learn to manage resistance and work with it, it just adds richness and depth to the flower that we are becoming. That is designed to exude blessed aromas of soul awareness for all to smell in the universe.
Even what's her face?
She's not going to let me forget that. Oh boy, we're in trouble now.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and all.
Well, we're going to sign off. This is Errol Strider. This is Inside Out, the Naked Truth.
And this is Rochelle Strider, Alicia Strider.
And we're here every Tuesday night at this time. And we'd love to have you join us. So you can. And go to our website, www.thelaughingheart.org, and see us on video and access a whole bunch of programs we did years ago, and find out about how you can transition from unnecessary resistance into a world of blessing and awareness. And remember, one more thing, as we'd like to point out, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.